us that are both on the planning committee for the festival and are members of Peace Alliance Winnipeg. Ellen Judd is also a member of Project Peacemakers and September 11th Families for Peaceful Tomorrows. And Sandra Gessler is past chair of the board of the Social Planning Council and a member of Winnipeg 80 Solidarity Group. And they both join me now to talk about the festival and some of the issues that they're involved with as peace and social justice activists. Sandra, I wanted to start by talking to you about military spending and the budget, because there's a lot going on right now about the federal budget bill, Bill 38, especially the cuts that are happening to some of the social and environmental programs. Is there a military spending that could be cut instead?
There certainly is general concern about the kind of budget proposals that are contained in that bill and in other aspects of the conservative financial plans. The big issues, of course, for those of us involved in any kind of social advocacy are the enormous cuts to all kinds of small community organizations, as well as to programs that support housing. And as most people working in the inner city or in any kind of social services know, housing is in a state of crisis and has been for about 20 years. And no matter how we've tried to come out with the feds, they've not responded with a national housing policy that many people have proposed. And I believe we're the only G8 country or developed country that doesn't have a national housing policy. We used to, but since it was dismantled in the mid to late 80s, housing has reached a crisis stage, and the numbers of homeless people and people who simply can't afford decent housing has just skyrocketed. So it's really quite a shameful thing for a rich country like Canada.
Ellen, I wanted to ask you about some of the announcements that were made at the NATO summit in Chicago, which you attended. And at the meeting, Canada did pledge money to the NATO mission in Afghanistan after troops leave, but they did say the troops are going to be leaving. Do you consider this to be a victory for peace activists who have been lobbying to get Canadian troops out of Afghanistan?
Yes, I do. I think it's very encouraging. As late as the end of April, Stephen Harper had said in the House of Commons that Canada wasn't closing off any options apropos of the NATO summit. But when he arrived there just a few weeks later, he firmly committed that all Canadian troops would have left by the spring of 2014. He did, however, commit $110 million a year for each of the next 3 years, which is amount comparable to the contribution of the United Kingdom, which is a much bigger country with a bigger economy. So it's going to have it's going to flood Afghanistan with more weapons and military training, and it's a negative factor for the Canadian economy as well.
I guess when Sandra's talking about things we're not spending money on, like housing, that would be money there that could be used for social programs.
For social programs, for employment generation, for maintaining our social services all across the board.
I mean, a number of cuts to cultural organizations, too. Pretty high profile today in our local media about Real House, and there's certainly lots of federal parks programs and cultural sites that are closing down. Folks are losing their jobs, and some of our main historical sites are being threatened and closed. You can't keep the heat on and the lights on. You have to close the doors. And so it's odd to think about where their priorities are, and certainly some of the military spending decisions that they're making, lots of us are starting to question pretty openly and aggressively.
Did Canada make any other military commitments in NATO and any other countries or other missions?
There have been no other public announcements of any commitment at NATO. We don't know what else might have been agreed to. But as far as we know, that was the main topic of discussion in Chicago, and that's the main issue of concern right now.
I know in the Canadian military is sometimes portrayed as not having such an invading force or a military force, but being more of a humanitarian humanitarian or human rights missions, and that's what a lot of what was portrayed in Afghanistan was school for girls and that sort of thing. And I know in Haiti after the 2010 earthquake, how it's seen is that we're sending troops to Haiti to help with reconstruction and health and social programs and that sort of thing. So I know you've been there as part of Winnipeg Haiti's Solidarity Network.
Yeah, about a year ago I was in Haiti, yeah.
And what did you see in terms of what the influence of having Canadian troops there is?
We didn't see much that made us feel particularly positive. We went as a small Canadian delegation with many connections locally. We actually went to connect with grassroots organizations in Haiti and some of their labor groups and so on. And so we very purposely went looking for signs of what Canada had was actively doing at the time or what they had done. And we were very disappointed. We didn't see much. There were some things on the Canadian government website that they claimed were happening, and we went to specifically look for them, and we didn't see any signs of them. I don't want to sort of portray, that we had any more information than that, but certainly, going around with other local groups, they didn't know of any or very much Canadian contribution. The one thing that we did hear of, we didn't go and see it, was that Canada had built a prison somewhere, and I think Michelle Jean had gone and, done an official opening at the opening ceremony. So we did hear about that, but the cholera treatment centers that we expected to find with the Canadian flag and Canadian healthcare providers, we couldn't locate any. So, and I did ask when I got back, I did write Bevoda's office and asked for some clarification, and I didn't get anything back that was particularly reassuring. So we have a lot of concerns, which is what the whole Canada-Haiti Action Network is, is still sort of active on that file, is what are our policies and how effective are they? Because we suspect they aren't doing a lot of good. And, of course, a lot of folks are still quite upset with our government for the way they contributed to the removal of Aristide in 2004, direct interference with another country's democratic process. So a lot of concerns in Haiti and not a lot of, good feelings or reassurance about our government's policies.
Do you have any concerns that Canada's going to get involved in another military mission in a place like Syria?
I don't think it can be ruled out. Canadians would very much like our country, and for that matter, our armed forces, to be involved in trying to, help people who are in difficult circumstances, as in peacekeeping, for example. That was a major effort by the Canadian forces through to the 1990s, but it's dropped off very sharply. What we seem to see now is a great effort to increase the military posture of Canada in the world, a great investment in the Canadian forces, specifically for military purposes. And if you look at what we've been spending in Afghanistan or in Libya, on the one hand, it can be talked of as if these are things intended to benefit the people living there in conflict zones, but the spending is overwhelmingly military. And we see that in the recent commitment of funds to Afghanistan. That commitment was for military purposes. In Libya, the commitment was very largely military, and the opportunity to contribute to development afterwards was declined by our government. Just recently, John Baird is reported in the press as having spoken to Kofi Annan and suggested that a small number of countries might be able to positively intervene in Syria without specifying the nature of that intervention. So I think that this is a possible source of concern. I'm not very worried right now because I think that there's a very high awareness that it would be exceedingly risky and dangerous for the people of Syria and all the surrounding countries for such an intervention to happen. But I think it's good for us to be aware of it.
I've been speaking with Ellen Judd and Sandra Gessler. They're both members of Peace Alliance Winnipeg, and they're both on the planning committee for the Winnipeg Peace and Justice Festival. And mentioned, the festival is this Saturday, June 16th, at Vineyard Ridge Park. That's on Portage Avenue at Home Street. And there's more information on the festival and also on a lot of things we talked about.